is Susan Mullen, and I am here with Paula Hillick. And tonight we are talking about happiness. How much do you have, and how do you get more of it? Which I think is a great topic because, you know, it's the middle of summer, and a lot of us are in our happiest time, you know, of the year, you know, or what have you. And but, you know, there's still some times, you know, we're still always searchers as well, and we forget, and we don't always remember. So I think it's a great topic tonight, and I'm really excited about it. And we will be taking calls. We're live. And we're really going to keep it to the topic tonight, though. We're not going to be doing, like, the random readings and questions and things like that. I am going to be pulling a card in a little bit, though, and we are going to set, you know, the tone that way for it. So I want to say hi to Paula. Bring her in. Hi.
Hi, Susan. How are you? Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining in and listening to us tonight. Hope that a few of you will call in and share the things that make you happy tonight.
Exactly. That's what we want to do and talk about, share experiences and, you know, ask questions about anything and all of that. So how are you, Paula? How was your week or weekend? Because we weren't here last
week. Well, as you know,
week,
I'm on vacation, so I'm feeling very wonderful, very relaxed, very happy, actually. I just get to follow my interests around all day. I just get to do exactly whatever I want to do that makes me happy all day long. So it's I'm feeling great.
Oh, great. Oh, I love that. That's, you know, the thing about having, like, vacations in summer especially, because I know your weather is similar to mine, is beautiful, is that, you know, just to schedule that time off, and it's so needed. You have to nourish your body. You have to live your life, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm glad. You sound relaxed, and I know I said that too earlier, but you do, and I am too. I'm relaxed tonight, and my house is quiet, so it's been one of those good days where I got to do the same thing, sort of. I just sort of, you know, caught up on things. I had a busy weekend. I was visiting with a great friend, had a busy weekend, and today was sort of reconnect day, so it's been great.
Yes, it's odd. I was sitting here thinking, is there such a thing as too relaxed? Years ago, and I do mean like 20-something years ago, I wrote my LSAT for, to get into law school. And I had been out of school for a couple of years. And so when I actually wrote that, I was so relaxed. You know, normally you have this sense of urgency when you're writing those kinds of tests. But I was very lackadaisical, and the proctor at some point yelled only 20 minutes left, and I was barely a quarter through one of my sections. And that's sort of how I feel now. This vacation, I had a huge list of things I was supposed to get done, but I'm just not feeling motivated to do it. All I want to do, Susan, is, I don't know, is sit in the back on a chair and feel the breeze. And there's a couple old movies, old romances I want to watch. That's all I really want to do is just lie around.
Great. And you know, I do know you enough that I feel like you're going to be going, and that's what I'm going to be doing. Like, you know, and delegate what you can and do. Yeah. You know, but that is kind of what we're talking about tonight is happiness. Like, you're finding your happiness this week and what makes you happy, and it's always going to be a give and take. We're always going to be doing sacrificing or shuffling, but it's okay. That's the whole thing. So
my happy self is less busy, right? When I have a lot on my plate and a lot to do and a lot of demands, I know that that does not make me happy.
Right, and you're right. It's not natural. It doesn't seem natural, you know, to be overburdened just to get through a day. And we are, and many of us are in the world. It's been that way a long time, but it's normal. It's sort of the new normal, and people are, you know, feeling it in big time. We're getting, you know, we're seeing the side effects of being too busy, overly busy, all of it, the commitments that people are making, they're not even able to, you know, fulfill them. Everything, you know, people just kind of quit this or that or give up and just being pulled thin. So anyway, I'm going to draw a card right now just to start to see and to set the tone and what it says for everybody, and this is for listeners now live and the collective, whoever to the show in the future, this card will pertain to you. And it's about happiness, and I'm going to read it. I'm not even going to ask a big question that surrounds it, but here it is. Okay. Let me see. So, happiness, how much do you have and how do you get more of it? And this is what the universe has to say right now. Okay. The most powerful patterns are created within the tiniest details. Pay attention. This is a time to be aware of the fine print in all areas of your life. Look at the details and leave the broad strokes for another time. When this card appears, it's a sign to finesse a project, make small but meaningful gestures, or add a personal touch to your correspondence. Be aware that what you need to know lies in the details. If you're entering into an agreement of any kind, pay attention to them before, not after. Clarity and transparency are key. You can gain great understanding by observing the minute body language, offhand remarks, and fleeting facial expressions that reveal the larger picture. So this card is very interesting. A lot of the things I wanted to talk about tonight kind of has to do with this, is sort of stepping back and becoming aware of the details and not the broad strokes and what we're used to, or making things bigger, larger, more, faster, more to do, more places to be. You know, we can get overly busy on a lot of really good, fun things, but then none of it's fun and none of it is worthwhile. So I thought that was a great card and a good, you know, good start to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? Yeah.
I totally agree. Well, there's lots of things I could say about that. One of the things I had copied out was this Facebook post that said, happiness is conscious choice, not an automatic response. And, you know, consciousness requires focus and awareness, right? Automatic responses are the broad strokes because you're not paying attention to them. And also, I had shared with you, Susan, earlier, there's that TED Talk that I love. It's by a man named Sean. I think it's called Achor, A-C-H-O-R, A-C-H-O-R, Sean Achor. And it's called The Happy Secret to Better Work. But he really talks about the happiness factor in our lives. And he details in that thing, in his TED Talk, five things that you can do basically every day. You know, if you do it for 21 days, changes the whole course of who you are and brings more happiness into your life. And we'll talk about that a bit more later. But some of that very stuff was around the things that you talked about, you know, the finessing things, small, meaningful gestures, personal touches in correspondence, clarity, all of that stuff that was in that card was in the five things that you can do to bring more happiness into your life.
Oh,
so as you know, we talk about it all the time. Everything's related. Nothing exists in a vacuum. And often you're getting these messages all the time. And our aha moments don't come because we are finally getting the message. They come because we finally see the message. We are finally focused enough to see it or to understand it.
Right. We're listening and we're paying attention. And
yeah,
we're following it. We're following, you know, that's that, follow your bliss. But, you know, that sounds, you know, silly, not silly, but it's true. It's, you know, you hear it, it's just, we hear it, but do we? You know, we just fill up our time. Everybody has the same number of hours a day, the exact same. And then you see the people that are just truly content and happy, and they have similar lives, but what are they doing different? What makes somebody happy? And, you know, I love that quote. It's conscious. It's not automatic, because the automatic is the mind chatter. It's conscious. It's looking and waking up every day. Well, this is for me. So I intend to wake up happy tomorrow. When I do wake up, I open my eyes, and it's funny because in my head, I do say this, I've learned to, as I've gotten older. It's like, yay, I woke up, you know. And I do it to get myself in a good mood. Like, I do it on purpose. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm here. I showed up again, and I'm happy. And that
there are a lot of people who wake up and it's difficult to get through a day. Lives become drudgeries. Like, sometimes it happens to me, like I said, when I have a huge workload, it's like, ugh, you know, how am I going to get through this day? And again, going back to this TED Talk, you know, if you can create the happiness factor in your own life, all those things that you have to get through are that much more easier. They're not as difficult on you. You are the happiness factor, I think he calls it. Things are easier. You are more productive. You're more creative. All of those things. So
right.
It's not just necessarily even changing what it is that you have to do. It's changing your perspective so that what you have to do comes easier. So, yeah, you talked about having better productivity and being more resilient and feeling less burnt out and, you know, being more successful when your perspective is changed. I also had posted that thing on Facebook on my Think Care Share page. It's like a story. You start at the top and you read the story down to the bottom, and then you reverse and you start at the bottom and read the story to the top. And when you start at the top of the story, it sounds very negative. Did you see that on my Facebook page, Susan?
I did not, but I have seen them before. I have seen them
before.
Do we
have time to read this one?
Go ahead, sure.
So I'll read this one from the top bottom first. So here's how it reads from the top to the bottom. Today was the absolute worst day ever, and don't try to convince me that there's something good in every day, because when you take a closer look, the world is a pretty evil place. Even if some goodness does shine through once in a while, satisfaction and happiness don't last. And it's not true that it's all in the mind and heart, because true happiness can be obtained only if one's surroundings are good. It's not true that good exists. I'm sure you can agree that the reality creates my attitude. It's all beyond my control, and you'll never in a million years hear me say that today was a good day. Now I'm going to read it from the bottom to the top. Ready?
Okay.
Today was a good day, and you'll never in a million years hear me say that it's all beyond my control. My attitude creates the reality, and I'm sure that you can agree that it's not true that good exists only if one's surroundings are good. True happiness can be obtained because it's all in the mind and heart, and it's not true that satisfaction and happiness don't last. Some goodness does shine through once in a while, even if this world is a pretty evil place, because when you take a closer look, there's something good in every day. And don't try to convince me that today was the absolute worst day ever.
Exactly. That's a great point. I mean, you know, I love how that's, it's just flipping perspective.
Yes.
Of how words can, you know, can be just like in our mind, can just be changed if we just...
Me flip.
Flip, right.
Yes,
if we flip
you can
it.
Flip
And that's
how
a
you
switch
think.
That we can do.
Yep, you can flip how you see things, and you can flip how your body responds to things. We say this quote quite often, but Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you see things, the things you see change. That's the very same thing that we're talking about here. This Sean Acor talks about five things that you can do to create happiness factor in your life, and none of these are new, but I'd just like to share them, if that's okay, Susan, and share with everybody what he said about these things. So he said, you know, focusing on gratitude, and in fact, Oprah and Deepak are doing a whole 21-day gratitude meditation workshop this week for 21 days for free. So if anyone's interested in that, check that out. I'm doing it myself, and I'm on vacation, and I'm finding it just completely lovely. But anyway, Sean talked about 1, gratitude, 2, journaling, 3, exercise, 4, meditation, and 5, random or conscious acts of kindness. So in terms of gratitude, he said, find 3 things a day to be grateful for, because it trains your brain to scan the universe for positive things versus scanning for negative things, which we're all kind of trained to do in this culture. He talked about journaling 1 positive experience in your day, so more details about it, because it allows your brain to relive the experience, so it's imprinting of more positive experiences. And then he talked about exercise, because he said, exercise trains your brain that your experiences matter. And he talked about meditation being important because our culture, he says, it helps our brain. We rewire this sort of cultural ADHD we all have because we're all multitasking and doing so many things at once that it allows our brain to focus on one thing at a time, which it needs. And then, of course, random or conscious acts of kindness. And he said, when you sit down at your computer in the morning, consciously create one positive email praising or thanking one person in your social network. And if you were to do these things for 21 days, you would start to reap the benefits of this happiness factor, which he said creates a ripple of positivity in the world and could create a real revolution. Well, I completely believe that.
I know. I do too. I agree with all of that.
If we were focused on these things.
Exactly, because, you know, that's, because what it is internalizing it. And, you know, and to back up a little bit, it's like, first, where does happiness come from? It doesn't grow on a tree. It's, for me, I found, and I believe this, it's inside us. It's not going to be the next job promotion, the husband. It's not the house, the car. It will never be found outside of you. So we, as adults and human beings, have to be retrained or to rethink how to get back to it. And it's like how to be, not like a child again, but when you look at children, they're just born. They're two. They run up to everybody. They're going to pat a dog. They're going to go, you know, the strangest person could walk by, not, you know, strange to them as a stranger, you know, could walk by, and adults don't really run up to strangers, but a little kid will, you know, because that's, they're just, their joy is all they really know. It's what they brought with them. It's in us. It's happiness. And we get, you know, bricks laid on us as we grow. No, don't do that. Da-da-da.
Yeah, you know what, and also there, you know, the joy of a child is so accepted and appreciated and welcomed. But, you know, think about it. If when, you know, as adults we're trained sort of not to express ourselves with joy, especially with strangers, but, you know, in lots of social circumstances, that if you're...
Yeah, that's, that, that's the human condition. Exactly.
Yeah. You, when so you're filled with that, imagine sharing that
about.
Kind of experience, how you'd be treated.
Well, we are. That's what... We are being treated. I mean, that is what's going on. It's
yeah.
like that's why, we're, you know, that's, you know, people are, you know, I need to be happier. You know, I want more happiness in my life. And for me, you know, I like to just surround myself with the things that I can bring into my life
mm-hmm.
and as well as let go. Like for me, I could just go outside or go to my garden or if I'm at the supermarket or something, I love fresh flowers in my house. So I will bring them in all the time. I look at that. It brings me happiness. It will connect me with a memory. It'll remind me of summer. So I do that. I make a conscious effort to do that. You know, I like the sun. It can be simple. It can be just little reminders. And but when I find myself, you know, thinking, oh, I'm in the lack, you know, mentality of, oh, when will this happen or da-da-da, that's my cue. And it's like, okay, so what's really going on? What do you what needs to be addressed here? And just by being aware of it can help me flip that perspective and choose, like you said, you know, choose consciously to be aware of when you're negative Nelly to being positive Susie. I just had to say it. You know, so, you know, some things are simple like that. Some other things take a lot of work and take a lot of self, you know, evaluation, you know. So it's different. There are different levels, I think, for everybody.
Well, I kind of help myself in different ways. I mean, like, and I'm one of those people who never wants to do the same thing over and over forever anyway, right? So, you know, I'll journal for a while. I'll do meditation for a while. I sort of switch it up and play
right.
with a number of things and don't get stuck on any one thing. But I will say there are three things that I know make me instantly happy, and that's singing and dancing and, of course, laughing, right? So if you can be with friends or marry someone who makes you laugh, then your world is already immensely happier, right? I mean, if you are lucky enough to marry someone who makes you laugh when you're mad at them, that is gold.
Right.
What I mean?
That is gold in your pocket, exactly.
Yes, that is a gift. So, or my son. Oh, my God, my son. I can be so mad at him, and he will toss me a look or he'll do something, and I cannot keep a straight face. Cannot keep a straight face with that kid. He makes me laugh every day. And I don't know, this is whirling around in my mind. I went to a funeral yesterday for a colleague who lost her grandmother. She was 94 years old. And so people got up and talked about her grandmother's life. And her grandmother had immigrated during the war to Canada. You know, there's a language issue when she first came. Her husband, like, she didn't drive. She didn't have any marketable skills. And her husband died when she was 44 years old, and she had three children at home to raise. And she cleaned houses and somehow managed to keep a house in the city of Toronto and a cottage up north. And then one of her sons said, my mom then became a professional moocher, and somehow, because it was a big Latvian community where she was from, would manage to get rides for her and her children up to their cottage, you know, for the weekends or for the whole summer. But when they talked about this grandmother, they talked about very simple things that were important to her, about what a big personality, big heart, big smile. And I just fell in love with the things that she loved, which was, of course, family and friends, faith in her church, her cottage, which she loved, with her family and friends being there, her gardens and knitting. And they talked about how every single person in the family and every single person that came into their family would receive some knitted gift from her. And it really made me think about, how many of us don't create anymore. I think about myself, because there's many things I've done in the past, creative, crafty kinds of things that I just don't make time for in my life anymore. But making them and sharing those gifts with other people brought a lot of joy. And I think it's something we've kind of gotten away from.
I think it is too. I think everybody has art in them, and I agree with you 100%. We do. We came here to share our gifts, and it could be somebody could be a great conversationalist, and just to pick up the phone and call someone they love or an acquaintance or somebody and share themselves that way. Another could paint, another could write, another could be making the jewelry or knitting and sharing
music.
It. And that, yes, music, painting. And we all have an art. We have an art of communication, an art of visual art, and it's so true. And that's part of that. I just feel like, you know, that's as we grow into adults, even the schools are letting go of art programs because we need more technology. You know, okay, we do. We have to raise human beings to know about the future and technology, but we're losing. We're really turning into little human doings and not having the time to be human beings a lot. So making space to be a being and a being that makes you happy. It does not have to make your partner happy, you know, not unhappy either. But if you want to go off and do something and find time for that, I just think we all have the right to do that, to pull in and share what makes us happy. And
I think
others
within
will,
all of us, even more than a right, it's a yearning to create and share the things we love, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's just a deep-seated yearning. And
it is a yearning, but we have a right to do it. What I'm saying is, like, I don't think anyone has a right to say you can't or don't.
Right,
or
yeah.
We can't, you know, to judge it. Like, in other words, don't judge yourself. You have a right to do it. Yeah.
And you and I talk about this very often, and, I'm struggling for the words to discuss this because oftentimes it comes back to school curriculums to me and what the real intention of school curriculums are. And as you know, these curriculums were developed 100 years ago really to create passive, docile, educated enough workforces. And again, this guy, Sean Acor, without really going into it, talks about how there's a whole socialization towards the average, the monogamous, keeping everybody the same. And if there's outliers, so people who, you know, in terms of the graph or outside of the mean, then, you know, there's this whole socialization effect to sort of rip that away from them so that everybody becomes sort of these automatons in society. And, you know, anyway, this is not a show about school curriculums. It's about being happy. But, you know, I think in order for children to be happy and adults to be happy, grown adults have to be happy, we have to start recognizing those unique gifts, those creative gifts in children, and change curriculum so that it enables the schools to be able to teach children or allow them to explore those creative gifts in our school system, because it is being wiped away.
Yes, correct. It is. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, somebody went so far or, you know, to completely develop that outside of the curriculum. And, you know, yes, sports are important. You know, music is too. But some kids really want to take an art class. They want to write it. They want to do theater. Or that's, you know, let them just have that available and have it just as important as sports. Because I love sports. My kids are in sports. I'm not, this isn't negative sports. But it's to have an equal opportunity for art, music, and crafts, and just things like that. But to give it the same respect and not, you know, it's just,
and
they're even cutting back.
If you're lucky enough to have great teachers, they'll find ways to bring them in. When I was getting my teaching degree at OISE here in Toronto, one of my professors there who had taught elementary grades, one of the things that he did with his students was they all did a picture a day. A painting a day is what they did. Because, again, he recognized that everyone has different strengths, and there may have been kids who hated that exercise, but there were kids who excelled at it. And so it was their opportunity to participate in something where they were great, right? That's sort of, I guess, the thing that gets taken away is to be able to excel in something in a group of your peers. And it becomes a very narrow band of skill sets that certain people can excel at in the curriculum. And so it actually leaves a great many number of kids feeling like they're outside of that success. And that certainly isn't something that's going to make you feel happy. And speaking of outside of the average, did you happen to watch any of the Caitlyn Jenner thing on the, was it the EPSI Awards, the sports awards?
Yes, I did. I listened to the speech, yes.
Yeah, you know, and my husband, who I would have said would have, you know, kind of avoided that subject and really not probably would have wanted to watch that, like he felt really impressed. I think that she did a great job of sharing her experience with people in a way that they could understand and feel compassion for people in her.
I do too.
I thought that was fantastic. Great, because at the end of the day, you know, there's some African proverb or something that talks about for one of us to be happy, we all have to be happy. You know, we have to be a culture that starts to understand that we will not all be happy if only the few, you know, a few, this minority, this rich minority or whatever it is, are going to be, that the rest of us are not going to be happy, right? In order for us all to be happy, in our homes, in our cultures, in our towns and cities and the world, we all have to be happy. We all have to feel valued, loved, accepted, and share our gifts.
Right.
That's
and
what I
that's
think.
Exactly the, yeah, well, me too. And that's, and there's that fine line, the word contentment kept coming up when you were saying that. I was feeling that, you know, some people, many people are like, if I could just settle for content, you know, but happy seems to be this unreachable thing where it's not. It's very natural. It's a natural state, and we can reconnect to it. Caitlyn Jenner, I think, is extremely brave to choose to reconnect with what was inside her the whole time.
Yeah.
She had to get so many years as a human being and had to have all these experiences behind her belt. She excelled in sports. Look at her. She was the man of men of men, born, you know, at one time, built that up, completely did that.
I think she said captain of the football team at one point, right? Like, at the end of her speech, she said something like, you know, when she was in school, or when he was in school,
right.
He didn't get teased a lot. He was the captain of the football team. He was like, I don't think so. You're not going to ridicule me, he said. So he said something like, and if you want to do it now, go ahead. I can take it, is what he said. But for the people who can't take it, why should they be ridiculed for being the person that they want to be? Before we move on with this Caitlin thing, I want to go back to the Deepak and Oprah meditation series that they're doing. Because really, I mean, if I went back and I could go back and read some of the stuff that I've taken some notes on, but basically what they're talking about there with this gratitude meditation is that this, you know, happiness is a state of grace, that happiness springs from the feeling of peacefulness and joy, which they call a state of grace. And that state of grace is in all of us. And you touched on it when you said it's inside of us, right? It's not something that we're going to get from the outside and bring inside. It's something we have to bring from the inside out. And so that's, again, why I love this meditation piece with Deepak and Oprah, because if you can meditate on gratitude, you can get to a state of grace, and that state of grace will manifest itself in peacefulness and joy and happiness. You will have gratitude for everything that's in your life. It will shift your perspective so that everything, every relationship, every experience, everything your five senses pick up and register will be a catalyst for gratitude, then grace, then joy. And like we say all the time, it's a practice. So it's not like you do it and you get in that state and it's permanent. It's something that you have to do all the time, the changing of perspectives. And it's very hard, as we talked about. It's a culture that focuses on the negative. And if you focus on the negative, you are not going to be happy. And as Oprah says, what we focus on grows. But the great news is you get to choose what you focus on.
Exactly.
Are you there, Sue?
It's a conscious... I just
thought I lost you.
No, totally. So what are some things, how do you bring in joy, like, to your everyday life? Like, if you're getting in, you know, you find yourself going there, or when you're overburdened in your day, in your work day and week, what do you do? You know, just to give ideas out there. How do you recenter?
Well, first of all, since January of this year, Susan, I do make going to the gym a priority. And I never want to go. Before it's time to go, I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have time. I've got so many things to do. I don't feel like going. I'm so tired. Sometimes I walk up the steps to the gym and I think, how am I going to work out? So I do a weight workout and then I do a class. And my husband says this. I always come home and say, I'm so glad I went.
Great.
That's
exercise. That's exactly like you said earlier. That works. That gets your endorphins. It gets your body involved, and everything has to participate in happiness. Mind, body, spirit. It's that moving part. That's that harmony. It all matters. So great. So that can reset you.
And that does. The other thing that, I mean, I do try to focus on the positive. I really do. And you know, Pollyannas, you know that expression, Pollyanna? There was a character, Pollyanna, and who was very positive. I tell you, Susan, they used to drive me crazy. Pollyannas, I just wanted to kick them. Do you know what I mean? Because I came from a state where I was focused on the negative. And if I was around a Pollyanna, I literally would roll my eyes. Do you know what I mean? Because I grew up in a family where kvetching was the rule. Complaining was the order of the day. And in fact, Susan, I think I've shared this with you before. During my childhood and up into my teenage years, I really thought that people's true disposition was nasty and ugliness, that someone being nice or joyful was in fact fake. How twisted is that, right?
I know. Yeah.
Now, you know, having come through many, 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 many ahas and realization and a lot in work at 48, I recognize that, no, really, joy is the true state. And the other, you know, the kvetching and the unhappiness, that's a state that actually takes a great deal of work. And
it
if you
does.
Can get
well,
your mind
exactly.
around that, you realize it's a whole lot less of an effort to be happy than to be miserable.
Yeah. Well, and the happy kids, this just reminds me. I know exactly what you're talking about. I was probably one of those kids that might have annoyed you, but not all the time. But I always, it's my natural disposition to be, it just was my natural, not to be happy and joyful and how, you know, not annoying, but to see the positive and to be positive.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's, you know, these kids that are raised, you know, to nurture that. Somebody has to pull that out of you because that's a great example. You weren't in that situation, so it was not natural for you to have that to be. It, the opposite would seem. So it's like for anyone listening, it's so important to encourage that in our kids and to keep that because we're going to be gone. The next, the you know, generation, you know, we're leaving behind. We're really raising them right now. And it's going to matter because the world, like you said, the world is getting heavier. Things are getting faster and people are disconnecting. Everything is digital. We don't write notes anymore. There's joy in that. There's joy in mailing a letter.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love it. I used to get a stamp, write my thank you notes, whatever I was doing, send a birthday card. Now it's text, happy birthday.
And if, receiving a letter.
If that. And
yeah.
receiving.
Yeah.
So to encourage, to keep some things like that, those little connections to human beings are very important. When we disconnect and we don't have them, there are many days I work from home like you do as well, but I might not leave my house for 3 or 4 days out of 7 often. So,
yeah.
Or more or less, more, I don't know. So I do like to see human beings, and so it takes work for me to hook up with friends or to find put things on my calendar to do and to meet because everybody else is so busy. But it is a priority, or I get very isolated and I can get lonely in my head, although I'm not, but physically lonely. But I that can happen too. So that's one of the things I have to catch with myself is meeting, you know, my friends and calling them or saying, can we do this even if it's a month away?
Yeah.
Is to do it because suddenly a year goes by or 6 months and you can lose a lot of that. The digital world,
actually,
I think, is hampering.
From what you just said, an idea popped into my head that I'm going to start doing with my little guy in the morning. I'm going to start asking him what sorts of things like I can do, he can do, we can do to put a little more joy out in the world. Like as an intention, as a focus, as a question around behavior. You know, I talk about these things with him philosophically, but I'm really going to bring it down to the physical, like to a verb.
Right.
And say,
exactly.
And I mean, I have had, lots of people have these ideas, but I wish there was a part of the school curriculum where that's exactly what they did, where they say, you know, how do we share a piece of joy out into the world? Like I always think, you know, I don't know why, but there's so many people in nursing homes and assisted living and care programs, so many elderly who are so lonely and have so much
right.
wisdom to pass on. I don't know why, you know, some of the outreach programs around schools, don't take children there, you know, as a workshop or whatever you want to call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I know.
And, you know,
I
it's
agree.
One of the things, my little guy who's taking guitar lessons, I want to get to that phase where that's something that he'll come and do with me, where we'll go to the homes in the area here, where he will just play some music.
I know. Can you imagine? I think that's a great idea. And to incorporate kids, too, because, you know, the elderly, they're being forgotten in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't, you know, again, those are the people that raised us. You know, they're the ones that raised our generation, and that's going to be us, you know, someday. Everyone is going to be there. We're all in the same boat. We're all just doing the same journey. So we have to include each other. We're all part of the connection. You can't, like, for me, it's like, if you forget or, you know, dismiss one area or one general population, you're choosing to disconnect from something that is very, that's natural order. So we're creating that ourselves. That's just sort of a bigger picture. The same with, like, animals. It, you know, like, for me, I do love my animals. So I have animals in my house. But I also love to go to animals, or I can go, you know, to a shelter or something. But I can't, on the other hand, and to bash a certain group of animals or choose to do crappy things, you know, mean things, and just, you know, agree to a certain thing and then think that doesn't disconnect me. And I think a lot of discontent and stuff comes from, wow, we have to look at what we're doing and choosing and looking, where's the disconnect here? And maybe there are some, maybe there aren't, but for me, I have found that.
Well, you know, a couple of things are coming to mind there. I don't know why. I was getting this idea of how some people are dog lovers and hate cats. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course. We have our
And not just hate them, but are very mean to them. And then for whatever reason, I, again, was thinking about a post that I put on Think Care Share today, and it was relatively new, so you probably haven't seen it. But here's what it said. A kid on the playground throws a rock at another kid on the playground. The teacher gives rocks to all the kids, since, after all, only a good kid with a rock can stop a bad kid with a rock. I mean,
that's a brain teaser.
Well, the way that that is written, it makes it ludicrous, the ideas, the philosophies that we have about many things.
Right? It does.
It makes it completely ridiculous. Like, you read that, and everyone would say, no, everyone should put their rocks down. The only way to resolve this is everyone put their rocks down. And isn't that a great metaphor, Susan? Because we are all generally, all of us, probably have some group we throw rocks at.
Oh, right. There are certainly some things we just absolutely disagree with. There are certain acts and things I absolutely disagree with.
Or don't like, or whatever. Like. We all have our huge dislikes or prejudices. But really, I mean, this really stuck with me, this idea of putting down my rocks, you know? And so when I would, you know, if I have a thought that's less than compassionate or kind or accepting, it's you know, I think in these kind of metaphors anyway, that's where all these children's books come from. But I just love the idea of, you know, I literally will say to myself, put down that rock.
That's right. Exactly. It's a great way to remind yourself, because when our minds go there, and which I always love is get into your curious mind instead. You know, you can, in 1 second, anybody can flip from judging something to being curious about it. Let's talk about just real quick, Caitlyn Jenner again. I personally do not have it in me to become a man. I am very curious and non-judgmental about Caitlyn Jenner. I think it's fascinating. I think, wow, I wonder what that's like. I love listening to this human being, because nobody, I can't imagine choosing to do it, like, for fun right now. That wouldn't be fun for me. That wouldn't bring me joy to put myself on that sort of public anything and change the anatomy, you know, to change how I present in the world is not the least bit natural to me. But when I see somebody do that, that makes me curious. I can't judge something I have no idea how that feels. So,
well, I think that's not, I mean, I think that many people have the opposite reaction, that generally people, if they don't understand it, they do judge it because it's outside of their realm of experience.
Or
they just don't understand it. So it's
Or they've been taught it's wrong. Then you have the people going the whole Bible thing, which I'm not talking about tonight, because this is happiness. But that's that ingrained automatic response. As you talked about earlier, we can choose happiness, which I call compassion and curiosity, or we can have automatic judgment responses. And that is a choice. And we don't have to believe everything we think. And we don't have to believe everything we were told. We get to rewrite our future by changing our stories. Everybody does. That's a natural. That's why it's not a paved road. So.
Yeah, you know, I wish the Oprah show was back, the old Oprah show. And she could have her on there and have a conversation around that. And I'd love to have a conversation with Caitlyn Jenner about how does that feel in her life now, where she's representing as the person she's always felt that she was, and is she happier? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I would love to have a conversation about happiness with her, and was she happy before, or, you know, is she, obviously I would think that she's more happy now, because nobody would go through what she's gone through.
Right, and I think that's that fine line of content. I think she's finally content. She's like, everything matches what I feel and what I look like. I'm content. So she,
but, you know, it certainly is making people have conversations.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I mean, I feel female in this life. But it's interesting because I was having a conversation with my husband, and I said to him, but I don't feel female like a Pamela Anderson. Like, to me, those are kind of caricatures of, like, Betty Boop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel very, very feminine, but not that kind of feminine. You know, that's a whole different conversation.
Right.
But I do think that she has, she's generated conversation. And if for sure, Susan, if she helps one person, I love in her speech, she actually said she had never, ever met one person who was transgendered. Is it like prior to doing this? And isn't that crazy? She's famous. You think she'd know people, you know, but she never had a conversation with anyone else who was experiencing what she was experiencing with, I guess, largely because she was hiding it.
Right?
So,
well, also because she didn't have to get, she didn't need validation. She answered her own call. She just knew. So she didn't have to do a ton of research, maybe. And that's it. It's like, if we all just answer our call, like whatever it is, and, you know, that brings a contentment, which I feel brings happiness. The kind of happiness you've been searching for, I think, is what we're talking about. So that search. And it's really,
I agree with you. I think if you are resisting your call, you're going to find it very difficult to be happy.
That's right. And allowing others to keep you in a box of any sort, or, you know, not to be you and not to be the real you, and especially in your own home, because that's where we should all be able to just be ourselves as most authentically as we can, you know, is to really stand up for yourself in a lot of ways that way.
So, Susan, you asked me earlier what I do that makes me happy. What do you do? I know there's your cats, but outside of that...
When I find myself in that mode, you know, because I do, I have to go, okay, what needs to be flipped here? I will just look around my energetic life. You know, I'll just look at everything going on and what I'm lacking. It'll be a connection with a person. I'll need a friend. I'll need something there. If I am bringing in fresh flowers a lot, that happens in the winter. I know I'm missing nature, and I'll, like, my husband and I, because his job is hectic. He just has a very busy work life, and so he's very good at, we choose a few times a year we do something. We just do it because it keeps us sane a little bit and keeps us connected. And, you know, long time ago it would be a weekend it would be a staycation, and it still is often. But now we are finding we need to go find a beach somewhere, you know, in the harsh winter. So that's part of a priority. So we try to work on that, make that work. We try to go somewhere like that every year, and it's not all the time. It's not every single year, but you know, but we do work on that. So, and I have a zero tolerance for. I know what my zero tolerances are. You know, I can't stand meanness in any way, backstab, you know, all this stuff. And if I'm on social media too long, or if something gets back to me that might have been said about me or anything like that, I usually have my feelers out anyway, but that can get really heavy on me. So I can just cut loose from people. I know there's something there for me to cut and get rid of. And that's really it. I'm just really close to my kids and my family on purpose, and they bring me the most joy. And I just really keep those connections like strong in their lives. I'm not, you know, I'm just in their lives, but they're in mine too. So that's joyful. Yeah.
So how many cats do you have now?
Three.
And are you happy with three, or were you thinking of getting another? You guys are going to get a dog, right?
No. Yes. When we move, we're getting a dog. I do want a dog. Mike's always wanted a dog. We've never really had a big enough yard. I feel like, you know, we need space to have a dog, and I'd love to have a dog, be able to go out in the yard and all of that.
I think you have a huge backyard.
Well, it is, but I don't have a huge in-house for a dog and three cats. So everything's got to get a little bit larger, I think. And, you know, and when the kids, you know, who knows if they ever get married and come back to my house. I think my family's going to expand in bigger ways than get smaller, even though
the kids are
basically out of the house. So, so animals do. I mean, I also, but this is me too, I also want a pet pig. So there you go. Even that would bring me joy. I seriously do.
You know, I am pretty, pretty sure that a pet pig would not bring me joy, but that's why differences are me. I'm wrestling with the idea of getting a puppy, although I think we all love a puppy, but my little guy is just mad crazy. He's wanted a dog for years and years and years, but it's ramped up recently. And he's fallen in love with a breed called a Bulldog. Have you heard of them?
No.
They're supposed to be, it can be an American bulldog or a British bulldog mixed with a Labrador. And they're not common, so they're not that easy to find. They're not really expensive for, you know, I mean, they're not a pure, you know, breed, but right. Even in terms of the hybrids, they're not very expensive, about $650. So we're embarking on that journey, and I had dogs growing up, and I know how much, dogs and cats, and so I know how much joy and love you can bring into your life with an animal. I also know there are a lot of work, especially if you live in the city. I grew up in the country, and you just open the door and let them out, right?
Yeah.
Very different. But, yeah, certainly
right.
Pets bring a lot of joy and happiness and, you know, and love into your life. So before we're coming down to the end of our hour, I just wanted to sort of circle back and repeat some of the things that we were talking about in terms of happiness. And, you know, I think that you and I agree that happiness is an inside job, and it's a matter of your choices and your perspective. And it's a practice. It's doing things that will bring joy into your life. It's the individual things that we talked about earlier that Sean Acor in his TED Talk talked about, you know, focusing on things to be grateful for, journaling positive experiences, exercising your body to help release the chemicals, dopamine, et cetera, that make you feel great, meditating to focus, become still, be in a space of gratitude and grace, and spreading joy outward, creating random or conscious acts of kindness out into the world, and following your inner yearnings for your calling, for your passion, and creating things that you love, like doing things that you love and sharing that with the world. And then all the things that we talked about, which is staying connected to your family and your animals and, you know, the areas that you love, the things that you love to do, and cutting out where you can people or places or events that really don't bring you any joy.
Right. I think that's very, very key. And a lot of times we don't, and I don't. That's when I go, oh, what's too much now? What's going on here? What needs to be let go before I can bring more joy in? Because we do have to create space. We can't just have a pile of, oh, that plate, the half of that plate is my negative stuff, and the other half, no, that's not a plate. That's not a harmony plate. That's a full plate. And so we have to remember, oh, what are we pushing off the edge? Because I am only accepting joy. But there is only so much time in a day to enjoy our joy, to experience joyfully. Mm-hmm. So it is, I'm constantly removing and rearranging things and people and energetic. And I can't not fake that anymore, or if I can't fake it or ignore it like I used to. We can't unknow what, when you know it and feel it and practice it, you can't undo that, which is great, because then it's like, whoa, now look. And it's almost like, how did I do it before? How could I? So, yes, it's really being aware, I think. And,
I had seen Dr. Wayne Dwyer at one of the I Can Do It conferences, and he talked about the fact that on his voicemail, he actually has a recording, something to the effect of, I'm only interested in expanding my joy. So if this message is being left with the intention of not sharing joy, don't leave it.
I
feel like we should get T-shirts made and hats made of that, which is, you know, if you could walk around saying, you imagine having a T-shirt that said, I'm only interested in expanding joy. So if you're not, don't engage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, for all those people honking at you in traffic and mad at you in the grocery line, if there's just somehow you could give them a different message.
That's right. And it's to look up and whistle and go, I don't hear you. I don't see you. I will not participate in any of, if it's not joyful.
I'm only focusing on joy. That's it.
Right, and I'm only accepting it. So
I know we're going to do a little bit of a wrap-up here. Before we do, I just want to, again, share this Oprah quote that I like to share at the end of the day or at the end of our call, which is, stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. And so, you know, this is why Susan and I meet generally on a weekly basis to talk about things that are happening in our lives or affecting us, and wanting to share our perspective or our experiences on a certain topic in the hopes that we can help you feel connected and help you change your life. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining us. We didn't have any callers call us today, but please don't be shy. If you're out there and you're listening, please do call in. We'd love to have you share your story.
Thanks, everyone, and connect with us on Facebook. It's Susan Mullen, Intuitive Living, and Think, Care, Share. And we will see you here next week.
Next week. Take care, everyone.
Take care. Bye.
Bye, Susan.
Bye.